Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is just a lovely episode. I just listened to this episode while walking around in the sunshine, having a coffee. Boy, did it put me in a good mood. I reckon this might be my favorite episode of the season so far that I've heard, at least, because I've only heard half of them. Rose Matafeo is on this episode. Briefly, my old flatmate for a little while, and friend to all in New Zealand, Aotearoa. She's been based in the UK for quite some time now, but this is just a delightful episode because Rose makes the correct decision to sort of zoom out a little bit and start to assess what the wider philosophical implications of this project are for Guy and I. And I think it just came at the exact right part in the journey. It's a cool ep. It's a cool ep. Rose is a very cool person. And yeah, what a gift that we've got her on here as a guest. Interesting little factoid for you about this episode. Guy states that he's a reverend. Spoiler alert, sorry, that he got ordained via the internet when he was about 14. I tell you something. He claims that he can marry people in this episode. I can tell you that was not legally binding because I got Guy to be the celebrant at our wedding, and he actually filed all the paperwork and it just didn't get processed on time, so we had to get sort of a legal one, who's awesome anyway, very lovely woman called Emma, who did sort of the legal version, and Guy did the illegal version. So when you hear him in this episode claim to be able to marry people, I need you to know that is not true. Another just like fun artifact of, I guess, fact, actually artifact from the past, but fact, when you compare it to now, is Rose claiming that she could never be an actor and doesn't know how to act, and subsequently, obviously, to this episode coming out, has this award-winning, absolutely beloved, critically celebrated BBC show that she stars in. It's just, it's cool. It's cool to see what people get up to, isn't it, over the years. Enjoy the ep. Hello and welcome to The Worst Idea of All Time. I am a whisper quiet Tim Batt.
My name is Guy Montgomery and we've got a special guest this week. Because miracles do happen, everybody. It's only Rose Matafeo.
Hello.
Woo!
Hi. Purely by chance, really. I couldn't have got it out of being a guest on this podcast this week.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're sort of waiting for me to leave the house here in Edinburgh.
No, I'm not. I'm just hanging out.
Are you?
I was eating my granola and yogurt.
You did watch. Well, let's be honest. You watched the first half of the movie.
Look, I've watched the first half of the movie twice now. And disappointed both times. I leave at exactly the same point, I think. Just after halfway.
Yeah, aren't you curious to see how they resolve all of the conflict?
No, absolutely not. I would be happy to never ever... I don't like leaving things unfinished, but I would happily leave this film unfinished, really.
And you have. And Tim, in reference to your whispering, what's going on with you, bud?
It's the middle of the night. And it's the middle of the week. And there are many flatmates with actual real proper jobs, so I've got to keep this shit on the D.
Because it makes for quite a creepy vibe.
Yeah, man, it's intensely creepy. It's creepy for me, and I'm the one whispering, for God's sake.
I think more than anything, it would be creepy for your flatmates. I'd rather walk out to see you talking at normal volume into your computer than to watch you just whispering.
Yeah. Having a weird one-sided conversation about this movie.
But the intention is that they don't wake up whatsoever. So hopefully it won't come to that.
I know, but I'm just saying, in a hypothetical situation, if they did, it would be much more comfortable for them if you were talking at a normal volume.
Well, that's the difference between you and I, Guy. I'm risk averse.
You're not risk averse at all.
That's not being a risk averse. Is it? Someone's on Skype.
Someone just came on Skype.
Well, look.
So,
I'm awake and I'm here and I'm talking to you guys in Edinburgh and I've just seen the film for the 25th time. And boy, did it rock my fucking world.
Truly?
Yeah. No, not truly. I was so depressed, bro. I was so sad. And I got really anxious and then I started thinking about how many more times we got to watch it and I started getting real like... Is despairing the word? Like despairing. I think that's the word
despairing.
I'm looking for.
Despairing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so
you were experiencing abject despair in the face of Adam Sandler's fucking stupid gob.
You nailed it, metaphor.
My question. Oh no, but also, this is getting somewhere, guys. Because 25.
Inspiration.
We're nearly halfway there. Like that is just mind blowing. I'm really just I'm really impressed now. At first, I thought you guys were just so. This is a fucking stupid idea, and it is a stupid idea. But the more it goes on, the more strangely proud I become of you two.
This is inspiring.
It is inspiring. I'm here to inspire you guys because, seriously, it's like it wasn't even a thing to achieve. And you made it a thing to achieve. This never existed as a challenge to anyone. This never was a thing that anyone has done before or anyone wanted to do because no one should do it because it's stupid. But you guys have actually given it, you've deemed it with meaning. You've actually turned something horrible into something that is just a beautiful thing. I don't know.
That's very kind of you to say, Rose.
Shit, Rose, I'm real touched by that. Thank you.
Because I've been talking to some people I don't know who, you know, because I've had to pass out on opportunities to do things because of watching the movie on this trip I've been on, and they've said, if you hate it so much, and if it makes you so sad, why do you keep doing it? And the answer usually is because there's no one will remember the people who watched Grown Ups 2 25 times. And I've said this in previous podcasts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we won't even go down in the record books as failures because we won't even make it to the record books. It's got to be 52.
There's no record book for this. That's the thing. We're forging a brand new path and record book ourselves.
Could you get into the Guinness Book of World Records?
Nah, because it hasn't been like verified. Although these podcasts should probably serve as some sort of, you know, evidence, physical evidence.
They're hard asses about that. I saw in the news the other day about this really stupid one where it was like the most amount of soldiers dipped into a soft boiled egg,
mm-hmm.
and they did it in New Zealand. And
of course.
Oh, it's so stupid. It was so stupid. The eggs looked really concerning. It was concerning how undercooked they looked.
Oh, that's not good.
I know, but they all had to do it at the same time. And it's just so stupid. So I think don't even aim for the
Was it verified?
Records. It was verified. Like, it was a record.
The irony, if we did get this verified as a world record, would be the person verifying it would have to actually be with us for every screening. So they would, by
they
virtue
would
of that, actually be part of the world record.
Exactly, which is kind of an interesting concept.
You guys, one of you should have been ordained as a Guinness Book of World Records.
Fuck, you're right.
I'm ordained as a minister
actually
of the church. I did it online when I was like 14.
Oh, God.
That's
so
fantastic.
In the Church of Life.
Classic thing for you to do.
I printed it out. I got laminated at home. Because I think I actually got the idea from friends because I think it means I can marry people.
Yeah, you can.
That's and all you can do.
And also witness documents. Oh, no, you have to be Justice of the Peace to do that.
I used to fly when I was like 15. I'd fly as Reverend Guy Montgomery.
I've still got that on my flybys card to this day because they used to let you put any title that you want, but then they changed the rules later on. But I'm still the Reverend on that.
My brother did that with his one card. He was Sir Digby Chicken Caesar, and it made us laugh every time.
That's a pretty funny name.
It's from Mitchell and Webb. Seen that?
Yeah, sketch? I haven't seen that sketch.
Oh, it's so good.
I was also Chananlabong on my one card.
That's really good. I enjoy that.
Which is a quote from one of the Great Friends episodes. So, Tim, you sounded really depressed when you were describing your viewing experience. 25 times.
Mm.
Of the 25, where do you think, one being the most depressed, 25 being the most enjoyable, where do you think this screening fell for you with regards to how you felt throughout?
What? On a scale of 1 to 10, how am I feeling?
No, 1 to 25. So if it's number 1, that's the worst viewing you've had so far. And if it's 25, see. That's the most enjoyable.
Oh, okay. Probably top 5. Probably 5 or 4.
No, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Is everything all right at home? Is the tension in the flat you want to talk out with us?
No.
No. Oh, that was a yes. That was.
Why did you make that noise? Why did you pause like that?
Nah. Everything's groovy around here. I just feel like I'm going insane. I'm in the kitchen right now, because the internet got cut off, and so I'm having to do this on 3G. But the only place I can get 3G in the house is in the kitchen. What has my life become, man?
That would make you feel kind of insane. Is it dark?
It's very dark. The only thing that's on is I've got one light, and it just happens to be a fluorescent light, so it's casting a really like horrible light over the kitchen, and I'm just looking at our stove.
Do you guys feel that... Now, I've been thinking a lot about life and death, obviously, because that's what I do think about a lot. And obviously, going on a long plane journey, I had a long time to think about it. And do you feel like... Every second of your life is precious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like that.
No, wait, yeah, well, let it finish the thought.
Do you genuinely feel like this is... Like, when you are old, when you're on your deathbed, will you be like, why did I do that?
No.
Why didn't I...
No.
Okay, really?
Absolutely not.
I'd like to counter-argue first, Tim.
Please.
And then you can
have you been asked
in.
This before?
No, but I have considered this. There's a sort of... I don't know if it's a proverb, but there's a saying... If you feast every day, then when will you feast? Mm. Which is sort of like if the only meal you eat is a delicious banquet, then the effect of eating a delicious banquet is removed because that's all you know.
So this is a sobering. This has a sobering effect.
This is
leveling. This is leveling.
Exactly. This is like David Brent in The Office when he says, if he quotes Dolly Parton, he says, if you want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the rain.
Do you know what philosopher said that? Dolly Parton.
People say she was just a pair of tits.
What's the other one? Where it's oh god, I remember I printed it out in an office once, like tried to recreate it. What's the other one?
That he says.
Yeah.
How do you want to be remembered?
No. It's a thing. It's a lyric that he puts up on his wall.
Oh, Desiree. It's a Desiree.
Desiree.
Lyric.
Desiree. What is
shit,
it again?
What is it?
I'll Google it.
In the meantime, Tim, would you like to say why you disagree, why you don't think this is a waste of time?
Well, that was a pretty good angle that you're coming from, but I was coming from a slightly different angle where I don't consider this, I mean, it's depressing, which makes a nice sort of yin to the yang of my normal, pretty happy life. But also, I think that I'll look back finally at the end of this project with a lot of like sense of accomplishment and achievement, because this is, whilst it is a ridiculous thing, and Rose has mentioned that, it is a thing. It's a real thing. And it's a thing that it's going to take a lot of time and maybe hard work's the wrong word, but
well, like I think it is. So to me, it seems like... I do agree with you guys. I'm just thinking, you know, that maybe that was what would cross your mind at some point. Because... But for me, it seems like... Because I would just waste 2 hours every week just fucking around on the internet, right? Like, and that's the same amount you guys are spending this year on this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's almost, and I've been looking into a lot of meditation techniques at the moment.
That's interesting. And, so have I.
Yeah, well, because I'm looking to start meditating because I feel terrible all the time, and I really think that this could be your way of meditation every week, because it's the same context. Like, it's you're watching the same thing. You're like getting different meanings out of it every time, and it's something very stable about that. Like meditation, you're supposed to like sit there, you're supposed to observe everything that comes in and just goes away. It's kind of what you're doing. You're just letting this movie wash over you, and you're just experiencing whatever.
I do feel like there's a level of plausibility to that argument.
Yeah,
because we're hitting the same. You know, it's like a constant, and what is essentially a pretty unstable lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing which is always there week after week.
That's what I was thinking actually, but that's what I was thinking the other week. Just I was thinking of you guys actually, and it's funny because in a year, you guys are both young, hip men, and living lifestyles.
Thank you, Rose.
We're living lifestyles that, you know, are constantly changing, and you're artists, and so all the context is changing all the time. But to have one thing that is the only stable thing in your lives is this. And things are constantly changing your lives, but this year, this is the one thing.
I love it. I've said that to Tim as well. That it will be interesting to listen back and hear about where we were respectively in our lives. And I remember really early in the podcast, Tim.
Yeah.
I posited that this was all a ploy to strengthen our friendship.
Yeah.
Would you not say that is probably what's happened?
Do you know something, man? I got so we've had a little bit of action the last week in terms of people getting interested. A student from the Auckland University of Technology wanted to interview me for a unit about the podcast, and she said, "What has the effect of the podcast been?" And I listed our friendship as being a good effect of it. So that was just one day ago that I was having that discussion. Hit the nail on the head then.
And we got this write-up from some guy.
Yeah, I've just got it in front of me now.
Yeah, can you sort of venture into that? Because it's really weird when people find things that we're doing which we don't know we're doing.
Yeah. Well, what the guy did is he referenced this thing called Superplay, which apparently is a phenomenon in video games, particularly really old and basic ones like Mario and Sonic and stuff.
Should we give him a name as well so that we can credit him for his effort?
Yeah, definitely should.
It's quite an interesting name.
The blog is Media Glutton. Gertrude Perkins, maybe?
Yeah, Gertrude. That's the one.
So he's describing the Superplay phenomenon where you play the game so much that you kind of get into every single facet of it. You do a speed run where you try and complete the game as fast as possible, and you play it so many different times that you basically discover everything there is to discover about the game. And this guy's suggesting that we are applying that philosophy to this film. And I'll just read a little piece, which is near the end of the blog. Tim and Guy are experiencing Grown Ups 2 in a way that nobody involved in its production could have anticipated or likely wanted. The project is so unreasonable, so intense, that every aspect of the film has to be scrutinised, from the casting to the financing to even the folio. In their own way, they have demonstrated unparalleled mastery of Grown Ups 2, and from the sound of it, with every week bringing a new stage of despair, elation or exhaustion, this mastery is hard won.
I thought he hits a lot of the nail on the head there.
Yeah, I think particularly by bringing up the point that no one involved in the...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
King of this film ever probably considered that someone would see it as many times as us?
No.
Yeah, that's kind of... Yeah, that is
like, this is a
throwaway... Even the director probably hasn't seen it.
It's a disposable movie. This is a throwaway movie. You're supposed to pay your ticket and see it and never... experience it again.
But that's the beautiful thing, bringing it back to, you know, putting meaning into something that's meaningless.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Like, I feel that.
You create your own meaning for things. And I think it's great. Like, what if... I really hope the director finds out that you've been doing this.
Well, Dennis Dugan, our boy Dennis.
We've talked vaguely in passing about how great it would be to get Adam Sandler on the 52nd podcast, but I just don't know if he'd be on board with the whole project.
We should start. Does he have Twitter?
I don't think he does do Twitter.
He's got to be on Twitter, surely.
Nah, probably not. None of them are on Twitter. Also something to discuss, you said you wanted to discuss Guy, which was, and something I noticed that in this viewing of half of the movie, is that there is a shot. It's when they're all at the party with all the college kids or whatever on the cliff and stuff. Kevin Durant has this horrible towel over his neck and he's a massive. And they're all just staring, they're all just looking at like the Taylor Lautner and whatever and those guys and stuff. And then you just kind of go, it's David Spade, Adam Sandler, and Chris Rock in a row, right? And I love Saturday Night Live, and I loved Saturday Night Live from, you know, the 90s, where it was their heyday. I have the Bad Boys of SNL DVD. It's a great one. But they were genuinely like, they were the Andy Sambergs. They were like the cutting edge.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, they were funny at the time and stuff. But they were the equivalent of, you know, the people that you love on Saturday Night Live now who go off to do movies and stuff. And just that shot was just so...
They all had a cold, dead look in their eyes.
It was just so depressing. Well, like, it just makes me so aware of the passing of time so fast. They're going to be dead soon.
It's like a shot of...
dead in 20 years.
The day the comedy died, in a way.
Yeah. Well, and
I was thinking about that a lot watching it today, because being here in Edinburgh, and there's so much going on and there's so much creativity, and like some of the funniest shows I've seen in the last couple of days in my life I've watched, and I'm like, this is what Chris Rock was, this is what Adam said, like these were guys who were on the hustle to let it be understood how funny they are. And then you reach that level of success where you're still like public interest and your desire to be critically acclaimed is still sort of the equilibrium, like it still meets perfectly.
Yeah, right.
And then eventually it gets to a point where you just go, fuck it, I've proved myself.
Yeah, like when do you get as a creative, like surely they are creatives, they're comedians and they create, you know, humour or whatever.
Well, hold on, let me just stop you there. Let's use correct tense. The only assumption we have is that they were creatives.
Well, yes, okay, sorry, they were creatives.
Chris Rock's on a new tour.
Exactly, well, yeah, that's true, but at what point? I know some other factors come into it, like money and all that, but at what point do you hit a point where you are successful and stuff, but you're so successful that it makes you stop wanting to create, like something, the thing within you that wants to create and create new things and be productive as a creative human being in your field, in your particular set of skills, it just disappears.
Instead of just you also disappearing from the public eye with it, you continue to have the same output, with no investment in the product.
Absolutely. It's I guess it's not even like the loss of integrity of what your art is, but it's the complete loss of like the will to do what you think you're here on earth to do. It's like, what are they doing? Are they just making money to just live in their fucking... I drove past David Spade's house when I was in LA on a star tour.
Was it nice?
It was okay.
You sent me a photo. Like, it was cute. It was great.
Yeah, it was with his gay. But it's kind of like, what are you doing? You're just doing these fucking awful movies to just finance this lifestyle that you'll just live until you die and have no kids and no legacy.
Do you think that they're...
like, what about Joe Dirt, man?
Do you think that they're funny? In conversation? Do you think if you like sort of went to a barbecue with those guys and they're all goofing off, no cameras, they're just a couple of lads hanging out?
I guess they may enjoy life in a different way. I reckon they used to live to work and now they're just working to live.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate, but I really respect what you've just laid down.
It's gone.
So with a film like Grown Ups 2, there were three writers involved, one of whom was Adam Sandler. Now, they already had a template for Grown Ups 1, which neither Guy or I has seen, but apparently is quite a bit better than this one. So what we've got is a project that would be so easy to write between three people. You could probably shit it out in a couple of months, 3 months, say, and on a pretty relaxed schedule. Production time for this, minimal, fucking minimal. I estimate that this thing was shot within, 3 months, all up?
So it's a massive
paycheck. I think in terms of profit, it was somewhere in the region of $150 million. That's a big old paycheck for not a lot of time or a lot of effort. And maybe we're, you know, painting all the people involved with this film, or the stars at least, with the brush of Grown Ups too. Whereas in fact, this is simply a paycheck so that they can go on and do the other creative things, like Chris Rock doing another tour. Well,
it is absolutely a paycheck, because Rose was saying, we were talking about Braden Higgins, when he had to do the line, "No go, stay."
Yes.
And then Rose said, "Do you think actors are..." What was the question?
Well, just like, well, actually, it wasn't really a question. It was, actors are stupid.
Yeah, actors are stupid.
Like, but just like, it's funny how... it's just because that particular line, he committed to it so much. Yeah. And sometimes I find acting really funny. I don't think I could ever properly do it because I feel like, you know, you have to have a lack of self-awareness to be an actor. And that's usually what makes them boorish to talk to, like, you know, like real, like legit actors and shit.
Wow, but, good insight.
Well, but yeah, but it's just how do you not see like bad writing and just not, no one says anything or... It must be so hard. It must either be killing you inside or you just must not care to have to deliver such terrible lines. And you said it was just because it's their job. It's their money. They're getting paid a lot for it.
Well, I think with the case of Braden Higgins, here's a young man who he's in the Hunger Games and stuff. Like, he's at a point in his career where if someone goes, "Do you want to be in a multi, like tens of millions, hundreds of millions dollar comedy picture with Adam Sandler at the helm?" You trust him. You trust that legacy and the SNL history you were talking about.
You do not. No.
I'm not saying you should.
I'm saying that you don't. I'm saying he doesn't give a fuck about Adam Sandler's legacy because it's so tarnished from the last however many years.
Don't mess with the Zohan and fucking...
He's just like...
What about the one who plays his own sister?
Jack and Jill. That's bad. That's My Boy. Actually a funny movie. Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to give it a chance.
Someone was just telling me today that it's a terrible film.
Well...
Is that the one with Sandberg?
Yeah,
right.
It's what? Like it's at least hits its. It's not like Grown Ups 2, which treads this weird line between being for kids and grown ups. Like, it's properly crass.
Yeah, here's another interesting point though. And I was talking to it about it at work. We're talking about The Nutty Professor and Big Mama's House and stuff, and how there was a period of time where everyone was just okay with those films. Everyone was okay with body swap films. Everyone was okay with like body transformation, like people wearing a lot of prosthetics, being a fat person, doing fat jokes and stuff.
Sure, Freaky
we were all
Friday.
Okay with it, and we still look back on it. And mate, I love Big Mama's House. But if you watch the trailer now, it's like, what the fuck is this movie?
But there was
I really truly, and maybe it's because people have outgrown the genre, which usually doesn't happen because genres are somewhat timeless.
Yeah, sure.
But maybe Adam Sandler and co operate in a faction of comedy films that just have truly no, like, there's
place
no
anymore.
Place for them anymore.
No, but they know what they're doing.
Do they though?
They're creating to a formula. Do you think Adam Sandler gives a fuck that we're doing this conversation right now? He's just sitting in a house with his wife and kids watching. He's like, "Listen to this song. It's called About Piece of Shit Car. I used to be hilarious." And his kids are going, "You are hilarious, Dad."
It's kind of funny, like, to compare Adam Sandler to someone like Steve Martin, who is still a person who did shit movies and stuff, and, you know, has been working ever since he was young, but he still has a need for creative output in other ways.
He didn't single-handedly helm like a ceaseless torrent of shit movies. Like,
that's true.
Weren't from his production house. He was sort of gambling on certain projects and hoping someone would be good somewhere.
Although I reckon Cheaper by the Dozen's fucking dope. I really dig that movie.
I actually haven't seen it, but I love Bonnie Hunt.
It would come out looking very good after this movie.
This is a good point as well, though. Have you ever discussed the fact that this is a fucking sequel as well?
What do you mean discussed it? In what regard? Well, we've discussed a lot of things over the last 24 episodes.
To be fair, when I first saw Grown Ups, the trailer for Grown Ups, I was like, oh, I'd see that kind of as a joke. Go along to the cinema to watch that. And so I really reckon once you've finished this 52 weeks, you would watch Grown Ups and you'd be like, holy shit, you know, this is actually a terrible movie. But sequels just have an incredible way of being insanely bad.
Yes.
And obviously at the house, is it different people? Is my question.
Rob Schneider's different.
But as in even production. Like, is it same?
It's all the same writer, same director.
Really?
And just real briefly, a quick sidestep. Speaking of Rob Schneider, apparently Nick is the character Nick in the film is the brother of Rob Schneider's character.
Yeah,
that is referenced precisely zero times in the movie. I only found out about that from the internet.
That was a post-production decision. They were like, well, maybe if we make him his brother, it will make more sense. We don't need to reference it. We'll just know and say so in interviews.
It's insane. And
also, just quickly, in reference to you talking about the sequel, Rose,
mm-hmm.
that was pretty much the reason we chose Grown Ups 2, was because what could possibly be worse than Grown Ups?
Yeah.
Put a 2 on there.
Yeah.
Totally. All right, Tim, we're running out of time. Your shining light, please.
The Lemonsoft's house is at number 116, which was a flat that I stayed in Newtown, Wellington, 116 Daniel Street. And I dug that flat.
Made it nostalgia. You nostalgic.
Yeah.
That was a terrible sentence. Mine was when David Spade's at the train stop about to pick up his son. There are these, so there's a shot of him, like there's shots from both sides of him. There's one from the angle that the train's coming, and there's this couple hanging out behind him who are like, look like they're going to get on the train.
Yep,
but as the train pulls in, it becomes obvious that the last carriage is going to land on them, and there's no door in. And they're just standing there looking at this train without any way of getting in, and then the shot changes so you can't see them again, and it goes back and they've just disappeared. Like, it's like they just gave up on getting on the train because there wasn't a door immediately in front of them.
That's so great.
And that
are
was,
these good things?
Yeah, this is what we like from the movie this week.
So I'll just explain what The Shining Light is. So we got really concerned that if we just continually, episode after episode, for the entirety of the episode, talk about how shit the movie is, we'd go insane prematurely. So we just like to pick one thing that we enjoyed in the movie from our most recent watch.
Right. So, I think one of my long-lasting favourites from the two times I've seen the first half of this film is, what I notice is that when John Lovitz comes in to the class,
mm-hmm.
with his obviously he's a janitor and stuff, but I didn't see in the first one that he fully brings his mop and, you know, thing halfway into the room, like right next to the girls.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no way that they couldn't have seen him. And also the mirrors in front of them. There's no way they couldn't have seen him come in with that mop and then come through. Like, how fucking stupid must this
woman
be?
In the world of this movie are this weird subspecies.
I know. But I mean, to turn it into a shining light, my favorite line, one of my favourite lines is when he's exiting and says to the gym instructor, say it's true even if it isn't.
I've talked about that line. It is so good.
It's a great
good.
Line.
Yeah.
It's a really good line.
You've talked about it ad nauseum. Guys.
Picked a bad one.
No, you did. You picked,
you picked a great one.
And thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm sorry I talked about some deep shit. I've been going through some...
I loved it.
Rose, can I just say quickly before you go that it's been a fucking delight hearing you and Monty wax lyrical about some of the stuff and pick up the lion's share while I attempt to not wake up my flatmates. And
good.
I've been highly entertained by listening to you too. So I think this one's a goodie. So thank you.
Hey. Look, we're doing this in my room, and Guy won't leave my room. I'm trying to eat my couscous.
Yeah, gotcha. Rose has been eating couscous the whole time. Anyway, I'd like
the
to,
food's so
like
nice they named it twice.
Hey, a Seth Rogen quote. Well, we can't talk about it now. We're running out of time. What I will leave you with is, for some reason, I've got a small biography of Simon Barnett up on my screen right now at NewZealandOnScreen.com. Simon Barnett, for those of you who don't know, he won the Best Presenter Award in the 1993 New Zealand Television Awards. And we'll just leave with a quote from him, apropos of nothing. Okay. Being a radio broadcaster is a great job for me because I love people. Everyone's got a story to tell, and I really enjoy hearing their stories.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.